everybody. Amen. Let that settle in on us. Amen. His reckless love. Hey, hallelujah. How much He loves us. We got to keep that in our mind. Amen. Tonight I want to share with you about, just to finish up what we were talking about, but I just want to keep something in the forefront. It's God's love. Amen. How much He loves us. Listen, we live in a tough time. I don't know. I mean, we got to pray for our city, man. We've experienced how many murders, suicides, and five of them within a week. Murder, suicides. Man, that's just, man, we got to just, too many, man. I mean, children. How many children have there been? 3 children. 12-year-old, an 8-year-old, and there was something in Shenango. I don't know what it was. Yeah, doesn't matter. It's a life. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. My goodness, Lord, help us. I'm going to pray right now. Father, God, Lord, we stand in our position, God, as sons and daughters of God, to God, Lord, over this darkness that tries to penetrate our town, to God, Lord. Hallelujah. God, Lord, we just declare life right now, God. We speak life, God. We speak life into dire situations, God. Into situations, God, Lord, that feel like there's no hope, God. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, to send them forth. Bring them to us. Bring them to somebody that can speak life and purpose into them, God. Lord, that they can experience the goodness and the love of God. Hallelujah. That overwhelms us. That saturates us, God, Lord. It gives us hope. It gives us purpose, God. We declare it in Your name right now, God, Lord. We speak over that, God. Every place, we let it go forth right now. Let it be declared. We are Your children. Hallelujah. We are the ones to God, Lord, the ambassadors of heaven, God, Lord, to bring heaven on earth, God, Lord. And we speak it. We declare it, God. Lord, You said if there wasn't those that can preach the word, Lord, those wouldn't hear it, God. So we preach it right now. We declare to the darkness that's out there that's trying to evade and let it be exposed in the power of Your name. Amen. Amen? Come on, hallelujah. We got to take our place. We got to take our place. Listen, the enemy wants us to make us think that we don't have anything, that we're not worth anything. And we are mighty men and women of God. Amen? We are powerful. Hallelujah. We are overcomers. And the enemy wants us, makes us think that we have nothing. But what He has done for us has given us authority, has given us power, has given us the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And I have Him within me. Hallelujah. So we got to break that. Hallelujah. We got to break that. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. We talked about how that Saturday, how that Hannah, she was experiencing some bitterness, some hurts within her, some pain within her. And sometimes things get so overwhelming around us, we forget where we're standing. We forget what we have, what He's already done for us. And we have to remind ourselves. And that word remind means to bring to the forefront. Amen? We have that. We need to do that. We need to bring it to the forefront. We need to put God in front of our problems. Amen? We need to put God in front of whatever that thing is, whatever doubt we have, we need to place God in front of it. It's something we got to constantly do. And I think that's powerful for us to recognize that and see that. I have a note here from a pastor that sent something. I just want to read it to you. Is that all right? Are you okay? You with me tonight? Amen. Listen, the agendas of darkness advance because people involved are passionate about their cause. I'm going to say it again. Darkness, the agenda of darkness, because the people involved are passionate about their cause. This doesn't happen. They are well organized and well financed. The exact opposite is true in many cases today with the church. What you don't support goes away. That goes for both good and evil. If you don't support evil, it goes away. If you don't support righteousness, it goes away. The scripture is, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The way you reprove them is not fellowshipping with them. Wow. That's powerful. Amen? And bringing to the forefront righteousness. Amen. So I'm going to, we talked about this. We said that the first part of that was in 1 Samuel 1:1. It says, now there was a certain man. And it says, and we talked about where he was from. He was from Ephraim. And that place means fruitful. It means a fruitful place. There was abundance. And I want us to notice this. It tells us where he was from. It tells us who Elkanah was. That was her husband. That was her support. That was the one that was with her. Amen. Sometimes we look and we see what we don't have and not what we have. And you don't appreciate it. In the midst of that, we become bitterness. We begin to look for things that we don't have and not appreciate what we have. Come on, amen. The world is programmed that way. You begin to look at things you don't have. And what does it automatically do? It begins to wear you down. It begins to make you feel like you don't have enough. Amen. So we could see the whole story here, how that Hannah was at that place and she was being reminded of what she had, but she didn't even notice it. She wasn't even aware of it. She didn't acknowledge it until Elkanah said to her, "Am I not more than 10 sons? Am I not worth more? Am I not more?" And this whole thing started because someone said to me that if I did this and did that, then I would get more people. And might be true, but I'm thinking to myself, what brings them? Is it God? Is it hunger? Are we thirsty for God? Are we thirsty for it? Or what are we hungry for? Amen? We're programmed to be comfortable. I mean, this, it's awesome. Technology is amazing. But I mean, sometimes it could be detriment. It can be dangerous because you don't even have to go shopping, which is nice. You can pull up to Walmart or wherever, and that's nice. But yet, it's made us so that you don't even activate with people. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it can be a dangerous thing. We have to be wise in all that we do and see that there's more than just comfort. You know what I'm saying? I mean, use it wisely. Just think about that. Amen? So, let's see where we go here. And he says, "But Hannah gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb." And I want you to see that Hannah was focusing on what she didn't have in this part. And it gave power to the enemy. See, I want you to know that when you focus on your weakness, on what you don't have, it empowers, it opens a door for the enemy to provoke you. See, without that opportunity, without that doorway, without that emotion, without that mind thinking this way, thinking about what I don't have, I don't give the enemy any place. I don't give him an opening. And we could look at that scripture in 1 Peter 5, 7 through 10. Let's check that out real quick as Randy brings that up. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaring lion, walketh about." And I know I've read this, but I know that it's so important for us to take a hold of this. He says, "Seeking whom he may devour." Say, whom he may devour. Whom he may. I want you to realize this and see this, that we can see that and see that who he may devour. We have to be at a place where I say, he may not devour me. Come on, amen. He may not devour me. He may not enter into my territory. He may not enter into what God has purposed in my life. This is something we need to declare. Let God arise. Amen. Sometimes things overwhelm us and we don't let God arise, but we let that emotion, we let whatever care that is, arise in our lives and overtake us and begin to provoke us and begin to wear us down, begin to discourage us. And he says, "Whom resist this steadfast in faith?" You have to resist being devoured. Being devoured. And what are we devoured by? That thought, that pattern, that thinking, that thing that we let overwhelm us. My wife always, I'm always reminded when I begin to think about tomorrow, about something. My wife says, "Don't borrow tomorrow's trouble." Is that what you say? Yeah. Don't borrow tomorrow's trouble. And it always resonates within me. It keeps coming to mind because sometimes I begin to think about what I got to do with all this and this and this. Because in that moment, I begin to let the enemy begin to devour the fruits or the things in my life that are being produced. Amen. And not let God rise up. And he says, "Whom resistest in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of grace, who hath called us." What it's saying is, listen, there's things with people that are are in the world and people that are Christians. There's afflictions. There's things that people go on. There's things that happen to everybody's family. Things that go on in our lives. But the God of grace, hallelujah, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Come on, amen. That He settles us in who He is. So we need to bring it to the forefront. God, You're in charge. God, this is greater than this is eternal. Amen. This is purposeful. So she got sidetracked. She got overwhelmed by what the enemy was doing and not what God was doing, because she had to remind herself where I am. Come on. And Jesus was determined on one thing. He knew who He was. He knew what He was doing, and He knew where He was going. Come on. And that He never got sidetracked from that. He knew who He was, because the enemy tried to distract Him from who He was, telling me to speak things that all these people around, that you're not the Messiah, blah, blah, blah. Everybody rejecting Him, things that would happen. And all those things, the enemy was trying to discourage Him, all these different ways. But He knew who He was. He knew what He was doing. He knew where He was going. Amen? So we got to be determined within me that God is working within me. The most important things we know and realize and let God work within our lives. Come on, amen? He's building us up. He's encouraging us. For whatever takes place in our lives, God's building us up today. Let God do it today. Come on, amen, that I'm strengthened in Him today for tomorrow. Come on, amen, that we wait upon God today for tomorrow. Because tomorrow will have its own troubles. But if I wait on God today, amen, I do not have the power or the strength to deal with things on my own or things for tomorrow. I'm not built that way. Come on. I'm not built to handle the things of yesterday on my own. I'm not built to handle the things for tomorrow on my own. I need God today. Amen? All right. I feel like I'm on a purpose to declare that in our lives, so that we don't get overwhelmed by things around us. Amen. Because, and He said this, He goes, and made her sore to make her fret, because to make her fret and fret and fret, because the Lord has shut up her womb. Not who she was, come on, not where she was going and not what she had, but what she didn't have. That's what He was trying to focus her on. Amen. And trying to get her to dwell on that, because it was out of her control. Now, let's look at Numbers 13. I want to go here because I didn't get a chance to share this enough. And I think it's important that we read this, because this is significant to what's happening in Hannah's life and how it can help us. Amen? So it says, and they... This is the 12 tribes of Israel. They were going to be spies, the 12 spies. And what's powerful about this, they just wasn't ordinary people picked. But every one of those spies, this is awesome, were picked from every one of the tribes of Israel. Every one of them. Now, I want you to remember, and I've shared this before, is every one of them had a specific meaning in their name. They had a purpose. There's a declaration over their lives who they were. Come on. And every one of their names had something meaningful. Every one of the tribes, that the lineage that they came from. Oh, man. I want us to get this. Come on. From like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there's history there with God, that God was building something up. And they continued to stand that heritage. Then they could partake of the fruit that was sown. Come on. We step outside of who we are, and we're not partaking of what has already been sown. Come on, I want you to know this and realize this, that what my forefather did, what my grandfather did, what my father done, my mother has done, what they have sown, when I step out of the covering, out of that relationship with God, I step out of what they have sown. Come on, amen. Their lives are purposed, are meaningful. What they've sown is eternal. And when I stand in what God has for me, I stand in what was sown. Just like me, just like you, what I'm standing in, what I'm declaring, what I'm walking in as a child of God today, tomorrow, my children will reap what I'm sowing. It's more than just me. Come on, amen. There's purpose in this. Amen. There's purpose. And there's so many dangerous things out there that you see that are happening because sometimes people step outside of that direct line. Come on, amen. So I want you to see here of who they are and what their purpose. They could still be children of God, but if they're not staying within that who they are and taking hold of what the enemy, they will be devoured. I don't want to be devoured. I won't want the fruit of what has been sown. Come on, amen. I don't want it to be devoured. But I want to stand it. I want to partake of it. I want to bask in it. And So here they were, every one of them went. Mimsy, they went out and they went to look, and God told them, be strong. He gave them a word. He says, I'm with you. Come on, what else do we need? Amen. They now to be jumping and leaping and being excited. But here's the thing. I want you to see this. You all know this story, but look at it from this point. And it says they went to the brook of Eschar. He says, and they cut down the branch of the cluster of grapes, and they bear it between the two of the staffs. These were huge grapes. They were carrying them with figs, and they were at a place, and they went all the way down. It says, and they returned, searching the land after how many days? 40 days. That's significant that we can see this. Amen. Jesus, knowing who He was, not forgetting it, not stepping aside from it, but taking hold of what the Father has sown in the earth, He stayed within it and overcome the enemy. He was not devoured in the midst of the desert place. So here He was. Here they come back. And this is the word they carried. It says, they returned searching the land for 40 days. And when they went, they came to Moses and Aaron and to the congregation of children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran, Kadesh, blah, blah, blah. They told him about the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came to the land which you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. End of conversation, right? Come on, amen? End of conversation. God, what you said is true, amen? And He says, and this is the fruit of it. We have it here. It's right before me. I have it. Come on. Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Come on. We are bearing, taking hold of the fruit. When I have a relationship, when I'm in worship with God, I am partaking of the fruit of heaven. Come on. When I'm in this, when I'm communing with God, that's why I feel it's so important. Never have a, don't have a, it's hard sometimes. You get wary, but don't give yourself a down day. Amen. That you worship God and partake of the fruit of heaven. Partake in that relationship and that presence with God. He's more than enough to get you through whatever you're going through. And it says, and they told him, and they said, nevertheless, this is the negative thing. This is the where they began to be devoured right here. When they opened their mouth and they said, nevertheless, the people be strong. Remember what God says, I am strong. Come on, amen. Be strong in me. And it says, and that you dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, they saw the children of Anak, which are giants. They were looking at the giants. They were overwhelmed by all these things around them. And the Amalekites dwell in the land, the Hittites and the Jebusites. But I want you to see something. I want you to know. Listen, their victory was in overcoming these enemies. I want you to know that God wants to work through you to overcome enemies like the Hittites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and all these ones. We've talked about it before. Every one of them were significant. One of them means fear, strife, and they have meanings, and it's powerful. That God was saying, listen, I want to work through you. So sometimes we don't want to hear that responsibility. I want you to know that working with God, we experience His power when it flows through us. And it connects us with God. Come on, amen? You know, we live in a generation where sometimes we've seen things, and you know how sometimes you say you want it better for your kids than the last kids, and sometimes that is worse. In a sense where that sometimes we overdo it with our kids. We try to make it better because we don't want them to go through. But I want you to know some of that pain that I went through in my life, some of the things that I overcome are because of those things that made me strong today. And we shield people. Sometimes we don't want people to feel uncomfortable. If we make everything perfect to come to church, then if you're perfect and you're happy and everything's perfect and the carpet's perfect and everything's perfect, then am I making sense? But sometimes what we do is we shield it from that we don't want them. We don't want them experience. But I want you to know that God, we don't face it alone. Those things that we go through are with Him, and we see His power in the midst of it. Amen. And we can all see here that Caleb and Joshua, they ended up defeating the enemies. He knocked down those walls that were before them. They faced those giants. They overcome them, and they had an awareness of who God was in their life. They had an awness and a wonderment of God that those that died in the wilderness never experienced, because they weren't willing to let God flow through them and know what they had and what God said was truth. God's not a liar. God's truth. Amen? Are you okay? All right. Let's go back real quick. So, and they did year by year, and they went up to the house of the Lord, and they provoked. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. She wept and did not eat. Listen, and I said this before, they went year by year to go to the house of God to worship, to pray. And the one thing that they weren't defeated with, the 12 spies, was Caleb was from Judah. He was from praise. They didn't get that praise. Amen. The enemy wants to disturb you and take your praise from you, because it is the most powerful weapon that you have is worship. Amen. I got a quote. I wrote this down. I want you to see this. Sometimes I put them in different things. I got it right here. Don't let the enemy reduce you down from where I put you. Come on, saith the Lord. Don't let the enemy reduce you down from where I put you. Wow. Don't let the enemy wear you down. Come on, from where I put you. Wow. See, when we think about that, sometimes we look at everything around us, but realize that God has put me here. God has placed me here. Don't let the enemy reduce me down. Feel like I'm not worthy. Feel like I'm not good enough. Amen? I also wrote this down. This is what I've said. You don't have enough strength to manage yesterday's pain. You don't have enough strength to manage yesterday's pain. Wow. But God does. Amen? A lot of the things that they experienced were from yesterday's pain. They seen these people that were great. These were slaves. These were ones that came out of Egypt. Come on. That were overwhelmed, that were beaten, that were abused. And there was a fear that was still was within them, that God was working out of them. Come on, amen? And sometimes it's the hardest thing that we can deal with, because Moses fled Egypt from Pharaoh. And God told Moses, when Moses came to his senses, that he went, stood on the mountain, and God told him, I want you to go tell Pharaoh. Wow. That was, you think about how much anxiety Moses would have felt at that moment. Really? It's like he's going to kill me right then and there. He says, no, no, you tell him, I am sent you. He was identifying, and he identified, gave him the strength, was he identified God being with him that caused him to be able to face an enemy that was greater than him, but it wasn't greater than God. Wow. Amen? That's powerful. He says, and then, so I just want to stay on this being reminded. Let's jump here. And let me see here. I think it's in Luke. Yeah, Luke 24:13. Y'all know this story. But I want you to remind, would you see this, how that just in a short day, short moments of time, feeling they're separated from God, sometimes we feel that. Sometimes we don't feel the presence of God. And we're big on feelings, aren't we? We're big on seeing things naturally, that if I see it, I'll believe it. If I see, if it's before me, if I can touch it, if I can handle it, if I can hold on to it. But God works in faith. Amen? It says, and behold, two of the men went to the same day to the village called Emmaus. Y'all know this story. This is an amazing story, which was Jerusalem. It was 7 miles. Come on, say 7 miles. And he says, and they talked together all the way and had happened what had happened. And it came to pass that while they commanded together and reasoned, they reasoned. That's the number one thing that we do. We reason what has happened. We reason things out of our lives. And Jesus himself drew near and went with him. He says, but there, and I was thinking about this, how that sometimes we're reasoning so much, we have the presence of God with us, but we reason him even out of the equation. Because of what's going on. Because of what's happening in our mind. We reason him. We all know the story where that Jesus came to a house. He was in there. Sadducees were, Pharisees were there. The house was full. And it says, and he was there to heal. But the Sadducees and Pharisees sat by and reasoned in their mind. Wow, Jesus was there. Come on, we got to remind ourselves, bring it to the forefront. He is with me. He is with me no matter what. He is with me. Amen? Yesterday, I had one of the guys that I work with. I didn't know this about him. Just try to talk into the mic. But today was a day that he needed to talk to somebody, and I was there. Yesterday, I mean. And when we were talking, he began to tell me, he says, I don't know if you know this or not, he says, but I lost my son when he was 4 days before his 21st birthday. Just felt like he needed to tell me. Mid-conversation. And as he was telling me this, he told me what happened. He says that his son had a heart issue, and they never knew about it, and he had an aneurysm and died right in the backyard, playing football with his friends. And, man, I told him that's hard. I said, but I do know one thing. I says, I don't know. I says, but I know I need God to get through it. I says, and I want you to know that God's with you. And we just talked about this for a little while. And I felt like I gave him some comfort. I felt like I gave him a place to realize. I don't know how to be able to go through that without God. Come on. But sometimes the first thing we want to do is, he said it, he's the first thing I wanted to do. I think he wanted to get off his chest because I was mad at God. I said, I would have been too at first. You know what I'm saying? At that place. Just like Hannah was here. She yelled at God. She was yelling out unto God because she had bitterness in her heart. But she went to God. And I told him, I said, you know what? Those feelings are real feelings. I said, but the key is this. God wants to hear your prayer. God wants to hear you cry out to Him. God wants to hear you. It says, and God will be there if you let Him be there. If you let Him. But it was a good talk. But He's in my prayers. And I can't imagine being at that place. But it's knowing that God's with us. Sometimes we reason God right out of the equation instead of realizing that God's here for us. And the one thing I said to him, I said, brother, I said, the first thing that we think is why would God do this? And I said, I just want to say one thing to you. I'm not going to preach to you. I said, but this is one thing we have to remind ourselves. Is that God sent His Son to die for your son. He sent His Son that He could heal your disease, take away your sin. Amen? He says, why would this God that sent His Son put it back on your son? Why would He put sickness back on us when He took it from us? I said, that's the truth. I said, that's reality. And he said, well, I never thought about it that way. And I said, well, that's an awareness. But the enemy, see, I want you to know, the enemy tries to provoke fear. He tries to put fear within us, phobias, and condition us things that have, you know, fears come from something that startles you, something that has taken you off your feet. Come on, every one of you, sometimes I believe everybody here has some type of fear that has tried to disrupt your daily living, the way that you function. Come on, amen. Whatever that fear is, whether if it's fear of tomorrow, whatever it's a fear of simplest little things. But I want you to know the Bible says that there's no fear in God. There's no fear in Him. There's no fear. So the way that we conquer fear is staying within God. Amen. Basking in who He is, in His relentless love, that we don't just take and get a little touch every once in a while, that we just get a dip in, but no, that we dive in. Come on, and we take the whole thing, experience the wholeness of God. Amen? That He could cleanse us and He can wash us and be overwhelmed by Him. That's what God wants us to experience. So, and they talked together as they went and all the things that have happened, but their eyes were held shut and they did not know who He was. They didn't recognize Him. I want you to see something. I want you to know these are the ones that walked with Jesus daily for 3 years. But they didn't recognize Him. I know He was glorified at that moment, but I want you to see, they came to a place where they did see who He was. I believe that they were overwhelmed by what they thought should have happened. Come on. But what they thought and expected something else and not Him, that they didn't recognize Him. Now, I don't want to be at a place where that I'm going through a tough place and I don't recognize my help before me. I want to be able to know. Come on, amen. I want to be able to know. I want to be able to experience and know that God's with me in the midst of trouble and turmoil. But they didn't recognize their elders. And he said to them, he says, what manner of communication are these? The first thing he did was ask them. He says, what are you communicating? What is coming forth out of your mouth? See, that's powerful for us to see. It is what we say, come on, determines the atmosphere around us. And Jesus walked in the midst of the atmosphere they were creating. He says, what kind of communication is this? What are you doing? Listen, this is victory. Come on. He just stepped out of the tomb. He's seeing something they didn't see, they didn't recognize. All right. Oh, thanks, dear. I get that wax from my, I got my hair running through my eye. It says, and it came, and it says, and the communication are these that have one to another. And he says, and as you walk, you're sad. As you walk, you're sad. Wow. He says, and one of them who was Cleopas answering said unto him, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things that have taken place these days? And he says, this is powerful. I want you to recognize something. I want you to see something. It is in red. It's two words. And he asked them, what things? Tell someone what things. He was asking. He says, listen to me. He's trying to get them to bring it to the forefront. Listen, this is the responsibility we have as children of God, is to recognize what things, Mimsy. Come on. He says, he's telling them, they're trying to say, do you know what happened? They were focused on the beating. They were focused on all the negative, that he died, that he hasn't risen. It's the third day. He's not there. They're frustrated. They thought he would take over Israel, and they're focused on that. And he's saying, so what things did this Jesus do? Wow. I want you to know what will change our lives is when we focus on Jesus. That's all that matters. Come on. More than anything else, more than any expectation, it's Jesus. When we focus on Him, it'll change our walk. It'll bring us up out of where we are. Come on. And where He is. With our communication. And He says, you a stranger? And He says, and they said to Him concerning Jesus, He says, the prophet. He's mighty indeed. He's mighty in word. Before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But listen to this, verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. I want you to know that we can look back and see different, because we know that he did redeem. But it was what he said. He said it. I want you to know that, listen, there's some things that God says in His Word that we might not be experiencing right now for our lives. Come on, there are some things. Whatever those things are, I want you to know that they might not be that reality to us in the natural right now, but we have to focus on what things He said, because those things came to pass. And they were looking and saying, we thought He would redeem. He did. And it says, and all this today is the third day. Wow. They were living in the third day. I'm here to tell you that we are living in the third day. We are living in the resurrection. We are living, come on, outside of the third day. Come on. He has risen. He's alive. He is alive. Amen. He has redeemed us. He has overcome the enemy. He sits beside the Father on the right hand of the Father. Yea, and a certain woman also of the company made astonished at the sepulchre. Listen, and they're already telling them that we've already heard that a woman went there, but they weren't going to believe her because she was a woman. Come on. Because of their ignorance. Come on. Amen. Remember I told you this. We need to bless those around us, believe in those ones. He said, because it might be those ones that sow in our lives so that we can bear fruit. She gave them a word. I love it. Because, listen, she was there specifically for a purpose and a plan. And I want you to know it upset everybody around them. Because you mean to tell me there's the first apostle, the sent one. She was the first one with a sent word from heaven. She was the first apostle other than, you know, that came after Christ. She was given a word. Tell them I'm risen. That is an apostle. One who is sent. The message. Now that will upset some people. But it doesn't upset me. I love it. Because that's what God does. There's neither male nor female. Come on. But God looks within a heart. And she was the only one that was there when everybody abandoned, except for John. But she was there. She stayed by his side. Amen? And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. You might not remember that. But yea, and a certain woman, he says, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision and of angels which were before them. Here it is again. He says, and a certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman has said, but him they saw not. He says, and then he said unto them, O fools, asleep of heart, believe all that the prophets have spoken. Believe the word. Believe the word. Amen. He says, and ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, all the prophets he expounded unto them in the scriptures, the things concerning himself from Moses, hallelujah, from Genesis on. Listen, everything that he did, all the greatness, all that he was there in the midst of everything, all the children of Israel, all through the story, through Abraham, Isaac. Remember, come on, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with Daniel, with those that remember they were in the fire. And it says, and there was a fourth one in the fire, and he looked like the Son of God. Listen, he was there. Tell your neighbor he was there. Listen, there's no restrictions. Come on, there's no limitations. His love is relentless. It is there. If we open our hearts and step into the fiery furnace, step into things that might feel like they're going to overwhelm us, but when with God, come on, he overwhelms them. That's what God does. He shows up in the midst of those things. And it says, so he began to tell about these things. And it says, it came to pass as he sat with meat. And he says, he went 7 miles. Hallelujah. Man, I pray to God, Lord, in the journey I walk with you, God, Lord, that I get it by the 7th mile. And he says, and it came to pass that he sat in the meat with them. He says, he took the bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread and he gave it to them. This is powerful. Listen, this is why it's so important to commune with God, to have a relationship with God, to commune, to break bread, to break the bread open, to take hold of it, to dive within the Word of God, to meditate upon it, think about it, let it dwell within your heart. Say, God, Lord, let this guard my heart, God. Lord, if you say this, God, let it guard my heart. Let it keep me pure. Let me not be overwhelmed by the enemy, God, but let me overwhelm the enemy with your Word, God. Let it guard my heart. Let it protect me. Let it guide me. Let it be a light before me in the midst of darkness. He said, you're going to be in darkness, but guess what? You got a light within you that overwhelms it. Amen? Thank you. So listen, I'm almost done. I'm going to be done in 3 minutes. And he says, and they broke the bread and they gave them. And I want you to remember this. That remember what Jesus says to them. Do this. Remember about the communion? He said, do this, what? In remembrance of me. This is about him. He took the bread. The Father took his son. Amen? He blessed his son. He broke his son and he gave his son. Wow. It's the story of Jesus. There's no problem that Jesus isn't the answer for. There's no problem that he's not the answer for. Whatever it is, Jesus. I want you to see that and realize that sometimes we overdo things, we overwhelm, we get too far, and realize the simplest understanding is Jesus. It is that little communion that I can't do anything. I can have 100 seminars and they're great. That excites you, gets you fired up. The thing they're going, I really want everybody to make sure they're part of that because it stirs your heart. But I want you to know that no matter how many series that I have, how much I do, if we don't apply it, if I don't break the bed, if I don't put in remembrance in my mind, if I don't take it, if I don't partake of it for myself, it does me no good. It is of no effect. Amen? He says, and it says, and they said one to another, he says, and their eyes, as soon as it happened, when they began to break bread, this is what happens when we spend time in the presence. Their eyes were open. Wow. How would you feel? Think about this. I'd love to be there to just look and see, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's Jesus. Oh my goodness. That's awesome, man. He didn't do it to hurt them. He didn't do it to shame them. Come on, because He bore their shame on the cross. But it revealed His love for them. How desperate He was for them. And it says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts... Oh, wait. And their eyes were open, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. It says, and they said one to another, didn't your heart burn within us while we talked with us, by the way? And while He opened to us the Scriptures, He opened. How important is that? The only thing that He talked about was the Word. He says, and they rose at the same hour, and He returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way. What things? Come on. They had a testimony of what things were done. Now they had a story. Why? Because they walked with Jesus, and they partook with it. Now they had a story. They had a testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we shall overcome. And the word that we have is what has come from heaven. It is the word that is in my heart that I overcome with. Amen? Not my own strength, but His strength. When I am overcome with the word, hallelujah, it's the word of God. And it says, and they told what things have done on the way and how He was known of them in the breaking of the bread. That He was known by the breaking of the bread. Wow. I love that. How He was known by the breaking of the bread. So place that in our hearts. Let Him be at the forefront. Just remind ourselves. I want you to know that we have to work out our salvation. We don't work for it, but we need to let our... Where's it working out of? Out of you. That seed is growing within us. Amen? That we be mature sons and daughters of God. That we be ambassadors. That we represent Him the right way. Listen, I want you to know that when you walk with Jesus, just like these ones, they had a journey with God. Just like sometimes we walk on our journey with God, but they had an experience. They only seen part of it. I want to see the whole thing, because only a partial view can be distorted. Come on, amen. A partial view can be distorted, and you all know about Abraham. When God spoke to his heart about taking his son, he had a partial view of what God was going to do. He didn't stop listening. But he walked the journey with God. And when he got on top of the mountains, God provided a lamb, a ram, and he says, stop. So many times we carry out what we think God has said because we don't continue. We take yesterday's word and we preach it. And we misrepresent God because we don't have a full view of Him. Amen? Come on. Of what we think He said. So let's just take hold of that word. I just pray tonight, God, Lord. I just pray as we have come, these mighty men and women of God, Lord. I'm honored that they're here, God. I'm honored that they have come to take hold of Your word, God. It excites me to see them here tonight, God, and that they want more. So I pray to God, Lord, that You stir their hearts, stir each one of us, God. Lord, that we live in an abandoned life, God, a life that is dedicated to You, that we're sold out, God, Lord, that we run after You with all of our hearts, God. And we let Your word guide us and direct us and lead us in the midst of a perverse generation and hurts and pains where people don't know who they are. But God, Lord, make aware, shine the light upon us on who we are and Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.